Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show longtime horse racing handicapper Dick Girardi. He's here on behalf of betonline.ag. And Dick, you've been covering the Triple Crown for, I mean, since the 80s, Philadelphia Daily News, and Eclipse Award winner. How much of a real Kentucky Derby are we going to get for the fan experience? And then what was it like last year during the pandemic? Because these are uncharted waters for us all.
Rick, better than last year, right, where we had no fans and the race was in September because they moved it back from May, hoping they'd have fans. But not a full house either. We're talking maybe 45,000 on Saturday, which sounds like a lot, except normally there's 170,000 at the Derby. So we're getting closer to normality, but not quite there yet.
So the other day on my show, I had a group of three of five Brown University fellows, young guys in their 20s. And through Doug O'Neill, a connection to Patrick O'Neill, they went out and they bought Hot Rod Charlie, who, from what I see, is in the top five. And I'll just bring up Hot Rod Charlie first. What do you think about that horse?
I think he's live. I think he's got a great chance. Love the story with the Brown guys that you're talking about. Were they all football players at Brown?
Yeah.
Okay, so football players, the frat brothers, and just for some reason decided to invest in a racehorse, and here they have a horse who's a contender in the Derby. It's a great story. I know Doug pretty well. He's won the Derby twice in the last 10 years, so he's got a real sense of how to do it. So, yeah, I think Hot Rod Charlie is absolutely in any list of the top three or four contenders to win the race.
When I saw that Essential Quality, last I saw 2-1, drew the 14th position, does that change your mind in any way? How close do you want to be on the rail? Does it matter if you're really the best horse? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think what you said last is most accurate. It doesn't matter all that much if you're the best horse. The really good horses can overcome a lot of things. Having said that, the 14 post in these gigantic fields, the 20-horse fields, I actually like being further out because there's less chance of getting involved in traffic. So I don't think it's a disadvantage at all. I think 14 is okay.
You know, when I was going to the track a lot, especially in the 90s. And out here, I was going to Golden Gate Fields, right across from San Francisco Bay in Albany, California. They had a guy named Russell Bays who, if he was in the Silks, you thought, oh, we got an extra chance here, you know? So when I look at a guy like Luis Saez, do you, in the mount for Essential Quality, for you, does the jockey... How much of that is a variable? I mean, I guess an experienced jockey could ruin it, but how much do you care about that experience?
Yeah, it's a variable. But yeah, your point about Russell Bays at Golden Gate, I mean, the guy was unreal. He's won more races than any jockey in the history of North American racing. He's over 12,000. But we're not dealing with that circumstance, obviously, here, because all the best jockeys will ride in the Derby. And I always tell people if they ask me, it's a great question, in order... What matters most in horse racing, horse one, trainer two, jockey three, and a pretty distant three. I always said the analogy I use is the sports analogy. The horse is the player. The trainer is the coach. There's really no particular analogy for the jockey. He's basically just going to not screw it up. If the horse is fast, the jockey just needs to point him in the right direction. If he's not fast, there's nothing the jockey's going to do to make him fast. But if you're down to like two or three horses and one jockey's really riding like in great form and he's making great decisions, maybe you go that way rather than the other way. But you never try to take a slow horse with a good jockey because you think the jockey's going to make him run fast. That ain't happening.
When I first used to go to the track, I didn't know what I was doing, and I would go down to the paddock and I would see like maybe the most ornery horse, and I thought, oh, he's up for a race. Or I'd see a horse named like Tricky Ricky, and I'm like, oh, it's me, or number 12, that was my number, and I would be winning. And then I thought, oh, I need to get a racing form. And then I would see, oh, this is a Hollendorfer horse. And then I got all this information in my head, and then I started losing. So how much is too much information a bad
thing? Yeah. That's the other thing I would tell people about the Derby. This is obviously the most analyzed race of the year by far, I would tell people, look at it like you look at a regular horse race. Whatever your play is, in your case, whether it's a name or the number, whatever, whatever you usually do, just do it. All the fundamentals still apply. It's still a horse race. But, yeah, everybody gets – it's like the Super Bowl, right? Everybody analyzes for 2 weeks, and by the time they play the game, you forget what you analyzed. It's very similar with the Derby.
How about betting? Because, you know, I always like things that brought in a lot of cash. Like I like putting $5 on a 50-1 to win just in case, and or, you know, sure, trying to go for a pick three, a pick six. And a lot of times my dad would say, those are all sucker bets. What are you doing? But, you know, obviously if you're going to bet on the favorite, you're going to have to bet a lot of money to win a lot of money. What would be your advice for people who are just getting into taking a punt on horse racing?
Yeah, I mean, look, the easiest way to bet is just, you know, obviously a straight bet, just bet to win. But that kind of takes the fun out of it. I mean, your dad's point is not wrong, but every really successful player I know is successful by making a couple big scores a year, because it's hard to grind it out day after day after day. It's hard to stay on top of it. But, yeah, for the novice, it's just betting this race. Yeah, pick a horse you like. Bet them to win. If it's the favorite, if it's a central quality, I would say don't bet them to win. I don't know if you've heard this story or not, but Mattress Mack, the guy from Houston with the furniture store who makes the big bets on the Super Bowl and the World Series all the time as part of a promotion, is going to bet several million dollars to win on a central quality because he's got this giveaway where he's giving away mattresses if a central quality wins the Derby. So he's hedging his giving away all these mattresses for free. If essential quality wins, he'll make a lot of money on the bet. What that means for us is his win price is going to be dramatically down off what it should be. So if you're playing essential quality, you might want to play him in exactas or trifectas, find a horse to run second, maybe a couple horses to run second and third. That'd be a little better play than betting that particular horse to win.
Very interesting. One more question for you, as we like to say in sports, dark horse. Well, here's the Kentucky Derby, and I like to know who your dark horse is. And a lot of times I just, you know, I saw the name Soup and Sandwich at 30-1, and I almost felt sorry for the horse to have such a weird name. Yep. I almost feel like putting a bet on him. But who would be your long shot that might win Placer's Show?
Yeah, I kind of like the 10, Midnight Bourbon, second in the Louisiana Derby to Hot Rod Charlie. Has never been worse than third in seven starts. Doesn't win, only two wins, two seconds, three thirds, but always gives a good effort and is listed at 20-1. And you got Mike Smith, who obviously he won the Triple Crown 3 years ago at Justify, certainly one of the great jockeys in American history. And it's a one sport, Rick, it's cool. Mike is in his mid 50s now, and he's still riding and riding well. He even makes Tom Brady look young by comparison.
Well, yeah, I almost feel like I'm in my mid-50s, so good job, Mike Smith. All right, we have been speaking with Dick Girardi. Make sure to check out betonline.ag. Dick, thanks for your time and your expertise, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.